Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week, we speak with musician and composer Jake Shimabukuro, a virtuoso known for his interpretations of songs on the ukulele. The award-winning musician sat down with us on a recent tour stop in support of his latest album, Nashville Sessions.
For me, it was like picking up the ukulele and playing, and I could just feel those emotions just kind of escaping, you know, through my instrument.
Ukulele virtuoso Jake Shimabukuro talks music, family, and being inducted into the Guitar Player Magazine Hall of Fame on this week's American Cafe. Jake Shimabukuro is considered by many to be a master of the ukulele. He has taken what some might think of as a fun instrument to heights that have won him worldwide acclaim. A 2005 YouTube video rocketed the 40-year-old Japanese-American musician to prominence, and he started touring with acts like Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, Jimmy Buffett, and even played with Bette Midler for a special concert for Britain's Queen Elizabeth. Jake, now married with two young sons, is currently touring in support of his latest album, Nashville Sessions. We caught up with him when the tour stopped in Alexandria, Virginia.
You started playing the ukulele at around age four?
Yeah, I got into it because my mom played, and I was born and raised in Hawaii, and that's something, you know, all the kids do. Actually, I think in elementary school, we all learn how to play the instrument. You know, so it's a very, very common, instrument, you know, it's a big part of the culture there.
Now, you mentioned that, and we'll get to that a little bit later. I want to talk to you about how important it is for kids to have music education. Mm. But from there, you kind of really dove into the instrument after your mom and dad split up, right? Am I getting that right as far as the timeline, that when your parents divorced, you kind of went towards a deeper kind of haven in the instrument, is that right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the ukulele was always kind of my passion and something I always loved. But I think, especially any time there was, I was faced with a very, you know, place in a difficult situation, or I was uncomfortable with something, or struggling, you know, through anything. Music was the one thing that I always felt I could depend on to kind of help get me through those things. And, you know, of course, family and friends too, but music was the one thing. Like, whenever I wanted to be alone, and I was the type of person that would like just hold everything in, you know. I never liked talking about my problems, or never liked really putting that on anyone else. And I was the type of person that I always kind of held things in. And but music was my way of kind of just letting those emotions out, you know. It was kind of like some people talk to other people to kind of resolve things or to feel better, but for me, it was like picking up the ukulele and playing, and I could just feel those emotions just kind of escaping, you know, through my instrument. And it really helped me through some of the most difficult, you know, times in my life.
Now, you're touring in support of your latest album, Nashville Sessions, mm-hmm. Which is all original material, as
yes,
I understand.
Yes, it's my first all original record. And, you know, it's always been one of those things. I never really had confidence in my own compositions, in writing. And I think that's why growing up, I've always relied on cover tunes, you know. And I like arranging songs for the ukulele, you know, songs that I grew up listening to, or songs that I love, you know. Maybe it's the melody that I love, or maybe something lyrical, or maybe it's just I like the chord progression in something, or the rhythm, you know, the feel of something, and I just love that, because for me, it's kind of my own selfish curiosity, you know. Like, if I think of a song like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, a part of me would be like, I wonder what that would sound like on the ukulele, right? So, you know, so then it's this, I'm just curious, and then I become obsessed, you know, and I'll just kind of sit there and try to figure it out until I get it, you know. It becomes an obsession. So I love it, you know. But the Nashville Sessions record was the first time that I sat down and I was like, and that's why we did it in Nashville, because Nashville is kind of the home of songwriters. I thought, maybe if I go to Nashville, I'll get to feed off some of that energy, and, you know, and I'll be able to write and come up with things. And, you know, and we rented the studio out for 6 days, and we were just gonna try to maybe write two or three songs maybe. And I guess I was being in that environment, you know, I was just so inspired, and I ended up writing like, I don't know, over a dozen songs. The tunes were just so fresh, you know, and I think the album kind of reflects that. You can kind of tell it's very, like, we're searching, you know, we're like, oh, and then you can tell when we get excited, when we find something cool, and we're like, that was cool, and you can almost, in the music, you can almost hear, you can almost tell that we're like looking at each other and smiling like, oh, yeah, that was great, you know. So, I mean, I loved it. I mean, it was such a wonderful experience, you know, for me.
Now, you're also a recent father. I think about 4 years ago, you and your wife had a son.
Yeah, so, my oldest son is five now.
So you have
now,
more than one now?
And my youngest is two.
Oh,
so I have
wow.
two boys.
So yeah. Now, how does, and your wife, we should mention, is a medical doctor. She's an OBGYN.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. And she stays in Hawaii.
She's a very good one, yes.
You guys go out on tour. Now, how is it, how do you balance fatherhood, musician, leader of a group, you know, husband, etc.? How does that juggling act work out?
It's hard, you know. Family always comes first, of course, you know. I feel very fortunate that you know, my wife and I both have very supportive parents, you know. Whenever I leave town, my mother-in-law, she flies out from the Big Island and stays at, you know, with her grandchildren and my wife, and she basically stays there and, you know, helps to get them to school and helps with, you know, preparing dinner and watching them and all that. I mean, it's really incredible. It's been a lot easier recently because now they're both in school, right? Preschool and elementary school. So that got a, you know, that's a little easier now. But man, when we before they were in school, you know, it was a little rough. But it's better now. And things, you know, because of the technology, we have things like FaceTime and Skype. You know, we can see each other. It's not the same as being there, but it makes it a little easier. You know, and you know, my mom and both of our families, you know, are just, we wouldn't be able to do it without them. You know, if we didn't have that support, one of us would have to, you know, sacrifice our career, you know.
Speaking about kids, you mentioned that your kids are in preschool and in kindergarten or whatever, and you mentioned earlier that you started playing the ukulele mm-hmm. when you were in school.
Yes.
How important do you think music education is for kids? Not only so they can become musicians, but just so they can become whole people.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's very important. It is so crucial, you know, because I say this all the time, but I really believe that, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on our physical health, right? You know, physical education, you know, PE in school. Very important, right? Exercise and all that, but you know, but like music and the arts, you know, that's PE for the mind, and I think we have to remember that, you know, it's not just about getting the kids out there and exercising and all that, but you know, they have to exercise their brains, you know. And I think whenever you introduce the arts and music, you know, the creative side, you know, it just music, especially in, you know, things I've been reading in recent articles, it just stimulates different parts of our brain that we use all the different parts, you know, independently when we're doing things. But with music, we use them all at the same time, and there's like this synergy, you know, this thing that happens that that they don't find, you know, with other activities. So mm-hmm. I think there's something really incredible about it, and it's beyond our general understanding right now. So I don't know. I think there's something to it, and you know, and I work with a lot of kids, and we do a lot of activities with music, and just the way it just transforms them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for example, like my two sons at home, you know, they can just be sitting around and just kind of be like, ah, you know, in the morning, but put some music on, you know, and they'll like get up and they'll just start dancing, and their whole mood changes, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like dancing around and they're just acting silly. So I don't know. I think there's you know, there's really something about music and the arts, and I think a lot of times we take it for granted. You know?
Well, I can't get away. My audience would never forgive me if I didn't have you play something for us.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah. I'll leave it to dealer's choice.
Okay.
But thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Jake Shimabukuro is touring in support of his album Nashville Sessions, and he has just been inducted into the Guitar Player Magazine Hall of Fame. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool about it is Jerry Douglas was also, you know, inducted. And I have a new album coming out next year, and we both played together on this next record. So.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that, too, because I noticed on a couple of the dates on the tour, you're playing with George Benson mm-hmm. in one date and mm-hmm. Tommy Emmanuel with another. Mm-hmm. So that's a couple of really top names. Does that ever get intimidating when somebody
all the time? Yeah, of course, man. I get intimidated all the time, you know, playing with other musicians, and you know, but it's always you know, it's always just a great learning experience, you know. You know, I always feel like every opportunity, you know, that's the way to grow, you know, as a musician. And I kind of take that approach like tennis players, right? You know, the only way you're going to become a better tennis player is you got to play with better tennis players.
Right.
You know, you have to play with players that are better than you, that have more experience than you, that, you know, and then that's the only way you're going to improve your game. Mm. It's the same thing with music. You know, you always have to, continue to play with musicians, you know, that scare you, you know, that you're like, I don't want to play with this person, you know, it's too scary. But that's the only way you're going to learn and you're going to get better.
Jake Shimabukuro, thank you for being with us.
All right.
I appreciate it again.
Thank you.
And we'll let you play a little something.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Well, here's something familiar. Let's see. It's my interpretation. This is my latest one here. It's Eleanor Rigby.
See more of my interview with Jake by checking out our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. That's also where you can leave your questions or comments. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.